I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars Live call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And for the next 90 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls on Star Wars Celebration, The Last Jedi, the 30th anniversary, whatever you want to talk Star Wars. We are here. We've had so much Star Wars news from last weekend, but the dust is sort of settled now, so it is up to you what you'd like to talk about. Other things happening on the Steel Wars RSS feed on iTunes or wherever you might be able to find podcasts is I just put up a very special episode where I have one-on-one interviews with the cast of The Last Jedi. They're pretty quick, but I think they're pretty good. So we're talking Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Rian Johnson, Kathleen Kennedy, and Kelly Marie Tran. I just finished my last Comedy Festival podcast yesterday. I just flew back from America. I just had the best week ever, and my body is in complete agony. It aches. It aches with fun. Much of that fun was had with our co-host today. What a true delight it was to meet him and his finer half, Jesse, and hang out and talk Star Wars from the Blue Harvest and the Rogue One podcast for winners. It's Hawes Burkhart.
How's it going, buddy?
It's good. I'm just coming down. It was all a dream.
Yeah, man. It was tough getting back to the real world this past week, I gotta say.
The cold, hard, real world. I caught up yesterday in between putting up shows myself. I did listen to your very entertaining double episode. You collabed Blue Harvest and Rogue One to do a bit of a celebration recap. And I would highly recommend that to any listeners of Star Wars audio media. There you go. I've got them all.
Well, thanks, buddy. And might I add that your interview pod that you put up last night was excellent, my friend. I was so happy for you, grinning like an idiot, sitting on my couch listening to that last night.
Cheers, man. It's interesting because it's full morning TV, and so to try balance up stuff that would, do you know what I mean? You can only go so deep into questions,
right?
That will be usable on there. But I tried to do stuff that would, you know, like people like yourself would listen to and go, oh, that's an interesting answer. Hopefully that was the goal.
There was one in particular that I found really interesting. And that was that John Boyega basically confirmed that he's going to be in episode 9 in your little segment with him.
Did he?
Didn't he say he was signed on for episode 9 in yours?
Yeah, he did.
When you were talking to him about like the legacy and would he come back and, you know, what was he thinking about what it would be like to come back in like 20 years and see that kind of reaction? And he also, was that whole thing he was talking about, think about what they're trying to do to you. It's all a trick. I thought that was interesting as well.
So now you've closing the shutter blades now. You don't know what's going on. Lucasfilm's out there trying to trick you, Horsey.
That's what it sounds like.
What was a few of your highlights, buddy?
Celebration? Man, getting to meet all these people that I've interacted with on Twitter for the last 2 or 3 years, that was fun. and the MSW party last Friday, probably the highlight of the entire trip for me. Just a lot of fun. And then the Last Jedi panel, the panel itself was amazing. The line was amazing and horrible at the same time somehow.
It is that overnight line. It's sort of this weird mix of the best time ever and torture.
Yeah, and then Jesse and I were going into it like, oh man, we're so prepared. We got everything we need. Wrong. So not prepared.
See, what you went in there with that made you unprepared is you went in there with high spirits.
Yeah.
You were too excited to be in the line.
Yeah, those spirits got crushed about 2:30, 3 in the morning, I think, when they dropped the temperature by like 40 degrees in the hall.
Yeah, I think I broke out at about 3, so I think it might have happened just after that. But I will sizzle something for you that on the last night, unfortunately, you guys had to leave, but we recorded a megapod where we get a bunch of podcasts together in a room and a fair amount of alcohol. And, so we each do a little segment. And Jonathan Grasso, like, I don't know if I've laughed harder ever in my life. He was just, his spirit came alive. It was one of the funniest things. He was podcasting around the room, just strutting up and down like a proud peacock. And it was so funny. It was like I heard, like, you know, when you laugh so much, you wake up the next day and you, like, you go, oh, what's that? And it's like, oh, it was that thing that made me laugh. That was Jonathan Grasso. So
I had a lot of that, like, laughing too much rib pain the next morning after a few days at Celebration. So much fun. And then I've talked to Johnny about Megapod a little bit, but he won't even tell me much of what went down. All he will say is, I represented the Rogue One brand well. And, man, that could mean a whole lot of things, in my opinion.
I don't think he remembers. I think he just blacked out and then just woke up in the morning in a cold sweat. Because he was filled with some amazing comedic spirit. So what we're going to do is we'll do 45 minutes on the open show for people just listening on iTunes. But for those listening live and members of our Patreon content club, you will get the other half of the bonus show as well. So if you're listening live, you do get to hear it all for free. And if you want to sign up and join our Patreon content club, it is patreon.com/steelwars. You get the bonus shows, you get all the archives, and also the special shows we just do for Patreons. We've also just put up some live comedy commentaries. We already had A New Hope, and we just put up The Phantom Menace and the Star Wars Holiday Special. So some of those things are... maybe that's kind of like, I think the Holiday Special one might be a bit like lining up for a panel at Celebration. The best fun ever, but torture at the same time.
Man, the synced up version with the video that's up on your Patreon.
Uh-huh.
Great. I had a great, great time watching that.
Oh, nice. Nice. So if you are listening live, you can call in on 646-668-8360, or you can Skype in as well. If you're international, just change it to America. You'll probably have to add a +1, but we have got loaded lines. And before we get started, let's keep the calls clean. Let's keep the calls fun. And we will talk some Star Wars. Hopefully we won't talk all over each other, and our editing genius, Eric Struthers, will have minimal work, and he can go back to combing his luscious Triple H-like locks of hair, which I assume takes hours of preparation each day. What about you, Hawes?
No, definitely. I saw that man in person. And let's be honest, he's also got to spend a little time coordinating T-shirts with me so we can wear the same T-shirt every day.
All right, our first call, we are going out to Patreon Content Club listener and member Cody. What's going on, man?
Not much. How's it going?
Good, Cody. Where are you calling from?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York. Do you ever get any David Letterman sightings?
No, not a chance. Pretty far away from the city.
But I think he lives, he doesn't live in the city. He lives, like, I'm sure upstate New York is a giant place, but people always say that when you're from Australia. Do you know this person? And then you go, it's a big country. And then halfway through the sentence, you go, oh, yeah, actually, I do know that person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's probably not the best thing. But David Letterman now, he has got a beard right up there with Horsey Horses. It is it has got some girth.
I am digging the Letterman beard. Digging that Letterman beard.
It is so nice. What's on your mind today, Cody?
First off, the sweet, sweet content from Celebration is pretty awesome. I felt like I was right there with you guys in the 40th anniversary panel. It was pretty awesome to listen to.
Nice, man.
And then I have a really, really nerdy question for you guys.
This is the place to unleash it.
Yeah, this one's pretty bad though. So it's been stewing me for since about Force Awakens. But for all the problems that the Legends canon had, you know, continuity wise, they did pretty good with the rules of hyperspace. And when I was watching Force Awakens, it really took me out of it when the Falcon just like jumped into a planet, and they did it again with Rogue One jumping out of Jeddah. And I'm wondering if that bugs anybody but me that, you know, in Legends you had to work around planets and their gravity wells and their mass shadows and stuff, but it seems like they've just thrown all those rules away. And is it just me that it bugs? What do you guys think?
I don't know that it necessarily bugs me, but I do know what you mean, because I'm by no means fully read up on all of the Legends, but I read a lot of it. And you're all right. They did spend quite a bit of time sort of explaining hyperspace and the rules of that. It didn't necessarily bug me that on how they did it, but that they sort of just did it in reverse in Rogue One, like you mentioned. Like in Force Awakens, they jump into the atmosphere of a planet, and in Rogue One, they jump out. And it just seems like they kind of reuse that idea, but in reverse. And I guess that sort of bugged me more than, like, the technical aspect of it.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that they did it twice in The Force Awakens with the in-ship hyperspace jump and then the interplanet. So I guess I found it a little bit weird, but for a different reason, they kind of double-dipped for no real gain. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, the ship one didn't really bother me, but the planet one, it just seemed odd. And then, you know, I guess Han's got a lot of luck, but the fact that they didn't just, you know, splatter into the side of a mountain or something, you know?
Well, I don't know. I don't mind that. I don't know. It's weird. People have, you know, like I've got tons of things that really rattle my chain or some other saying like that triple zero, people have been posting their triple zero exclusives they got at Celebration, and I feel like even people that I don't even know, I feel like they're trolling me with this. So but you know, that's what makes it interesting. That's why these podcasts can go on, because we get bugged by separate smaller things. But I don't really recall much of the hyperspace explanations in the EU. So I've got that free pass that I get when I go to see like Marvel films, that I haven't read all the source material, so none of it bugs me. I just go, woo, Spider-Man, yes, sweet. Like, I don't know, like, if his web shooters were different in that series of the comic or anything like that. So it's a freeing experience sometimes, that, you know, just to be able to have that step away and enjoy it. But yeah, I think I like, Cody, that you've been sitting on this for a year and a half and you finally decided to open up about it.
Yeah, my therapist says I should.
What else happened, man? What did you? What was your sort of big favorite thing from Celebration?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to go. I really, really wanted to, but just couldn't find the time or the money. But I really think it was that 40th panel. I watched the live stream of it, and I didn't know Lucas was going to be there. I think it was like the worst kept secret ever from what I understand now, but it was pretty neat seeing him come on stage. And he is really awkward, isn't he? I heard you talking about that. But, he's a different kind of guy, that's for sure.
But in the most endearing way, just in the totally could not, just doesn't, like there's no, such a nonchalance was just, at the start was kind of a bit confronting. Then it was just like, this dude doesn't care. Like, like he cares, but he doesn't, he doesn't Hollywood care. He's just sort of.
Yeah, well, he wears the same clothes every day, so.
Yeah, well, I think, was it with you, Horse? We did a big breakdown of his sneakers.
That is indeed. That was you and I on the show floor right after I met Mark Hamill. I was in a daze and I was like, George Lucas's shoes. I didn't get to go to the 40th, but I watched it on YouTube after we got home, and the image of him sitting on that couch and just like dangling his legs back and forth, like just, man, I love George.
Yeah. It's weird to see when you got to see hints of what it's like to be a real person and have created all this and come under fire, you know, whether, you know, I guess he thought whatever he was doing was the best thing. But when you see those little hints of annoyances and like a real person, because he's such a, like a deity to Star Wars fans and all this, you know, the mythos around George Lucas and Lucasfilm and Skywalker Ranch is, you know, as powerful as the stories he created. And so just to see him up there, just like, yep, some people on the internet are mean, aren't they? Like, it was really quite telling. And yes, some people on the internet are mean because, I don't know, they've got too much free times on their hands, I think. But thanks so much for your call, Cody, and thanks for being a member of the Content Club. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. If I can ask just one real quick question.
You
when
certainly,
he mentioned
mate.
Star Wars was, when he mentioned that was Star Wars was meant for 12-year-olds, did every adult man in that room just kind of cringe, or what was the atmosphere there like? Because that was funny to hear from him.
I don't really remember a cringe. I'm pretty aware of its 12-year-oldness, and but that said, I think 12-year-olds can be pretty savvy and demand more story than you know, than what some. I think George Lucas made it for 12-year-olds, but gave him a lot of credit, you know, with all the unexplained backstory of the Clone Wars. The spice mines of Kessel, like it didn't, you know, whereas Rebels plays to a younger age and kind of everything has to be like double explained. There's a lot of people in the Star Wars universe now just talk out loud to themselves constantly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if there was people in the audience that found that a diss or something, but I think they're kind of living in a fantasy if they think any different. What do you think, Hawes?
It didn't bother me one bit. When I heard it, I chuckled and I was like, well, that's because I'm a giant 12-year-old. So that makes sense. Right on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I have to. I will watch it all again, but I think it's, you know, I think it's a funny comeback. Like I enjoyed the debates and stuff, and, you know, whether you agree with someone or not, I do. Like sometimes when I'm, you know, debating something and, you know, there was a large debate on the internet a couple of weeks ago and the people that were debating me, I'm just like, this is pathetic. Like, I can write better defenses for you than this. Like, and I think the George Lucas comeback of just like, it's for 12-year-olds. I think that's pretty sweet. well, thanks heaps, Cody, and I look forward to having you on the show again soon.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good one.
Nice. Speaking of being very tired, whores, I got a story to tell you.
Okay.
So I had a I had the best time at Celebration. Like an unbelievably there was one tiny little thing that didn't go my way, but it was part of like a massively good thing. So I just swept it away. And I got to meet like so many great friends from the internet, like you and you know, people like Saf that I'd never met in person. It was, you know, just tremendous fun. And Ben Hart with no E, got to meet that.
Yes,
he's like super cool mum and dad. They were so nice. Bought me. I have to give public thanks for this. We all got given the Carrie Fisher poster after the 40th anniversary panel. Ben Hart, with no E's dad, goes out and buys everyone little plastic sleeves so our posters don't get crumpled.
That was a clutch move, man. Nice.
Yeah. I was just thrilled. So thank you guys for that. And like, you know, the live podcast went really well. And I think, as you said on one of the episodes, if it was Blue Harvest or Rogue One, it was just like there was maybe like 150 people, 200 people there, and everyone just had giant grins. Like everyone was having the best time. It was
magical. It was a magical night.
It was just like Grinfest 2017. So I had this great weekend. I could not have a complaint about it. And we did the Megapod on Sunday night. I woke up nice and early, or early for me, so I could get to the airport in time. I didn't want to miss my plane because that would cost me any time to have. I had one night back in LA with Jackie, my wife. So I didn't want to like miss a plane and then get in late and have, you know, not be able to like, you know, go hiking or whatever that we like to do. And I go through in the morning, the security line was so long because I guess there's a lot of people leaving and it's, it's, you know, Monday morning. So I go through security and, you know, security in America is a little bit more complex because you have to take off your sneakers and all that sort of stuff. So you have to take your laptop out and all that business. So did that, got packed back up. And then you got a train, like a little, like a monorail sort of thing, to go out to your end of the airport. And then I found a breakfast place. I ordered breakfast, and I'm like, well, I'm going to be on two flights. I better charge my phone. So I went to get out my laptop to charge it. Now my backpack was immediately a lot lighter, Hawes.
Oh no,
a lot lighter. And I hadn't just gotten stronger throughout the weekend. I was short one laptop.
Oh.
I had not repacked it at the security check-in because I was so tired. I just left it there.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh my God, this is the bad thing that like this is like I'm now paying for all the good things that just happened. Like this is horrible. This is gonna be the thing. I have to like get a new laptop. I have to work out what stuff. Like I back it up, but I, you know, I hadn't backed it up for several days. I've been away. So I go to the waitress. I just go, I have my backpack at security. Watch all this stuff. So my bag's there and I just sprint and I have to get back in this monorail. And do you know what? The monorail doesn't go faster when you're in a hurry.
Right. I was about to say that had to be the longest little monorail drive ever.
It goes far slower. And I'm the one person, because everyone's already got, they've just gotten off their plane. So they're not late for it. I'm there panting. And then I run to the security thing, try to work out, because it's a massive airport, like exactly where I was. And then there's this security guard standing at the x-ray machines, holding my laptop, which is covered in, have you seen him, Luke Skywalker stickers. So I know it instantly. And I'm just like, mine, thank you. And he goes, it's all right, sir. It's all right, sir. I get it. And then he goes, of course I kept it for you. I always look out for another rebel.
Oh, oh, wow. Perfect.
And I said, are you allowed to have hugs? And he goes, yes, sir. And I hugged my little rebel and I got my laptop and I hugged it all the way back to the little restaurant and back to my perfect weekend.
That's why Star Wars fans rule, man.
Hey, you guys, the Steel Wars merch store has been updated with brand new sticker packs. We've got the new I'm with Snoke, the Yub Nub, and the classics Have You Seen Him, and the infamous Your Snoke Theory Sucks. You can get an assorted pack of 10 for just $5. And while you're sticking your little adhesives, you'll be warm in the glow that you're supporting the Steel Wars podcast. It's all up at steelwars.com.
All right, let's go to our next call. If you are a regular listener to the show, this guy will be no secret to you. It is a guy that does so much behind the scenes, including crop his farm, his amazing hair. It is Eric Struthers. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. And I'll tell you what, even better after hearing that story about your laptop. Oh, my gosh.
It was tough. It was tough. But what's on your mind, man?
Well, first, I just want to tell both of you that, you know, getting to meet you guys and hang out here in person was a huge deal. Like, that's what made Celebration so good, was hanging out with everybody. And Hawes, geez, dude, you were like the belle of the ball at this
point. No, I don't know about all that.
Oh, I know, buddy. I was there. I got to ask you, man, like, I keep having these bouts of just, like, where I don't want to say depressed, but, like, you know, borderline, just like this overwhelming bummed out feeling of, because everything was so cool for those few days. And I mean, not that being home isn't cool too, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, have you had a hard time shaking that off after this many days have gone past?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm still getting Celebration blues. Like, I went to a Toys R Us today just to look at Star Wars toys. 'Cause I was like, yeah, like a tiny version of, I'm not joking. I went to look at Star Wars toys at Toys R Us today just to get a little bit of the magic back. I need a little fix.
What sort of magic was at Toys R Us?
Well, you know, if you're familiar with going out and looking for Star Wars toys, not a whole lot. Bunch of Zuvios.
Good old Zuvio.
Oh, man.
Did anyone see a Zuvio cosplayer at Celebration? I don't think I saw one.
Oh, no. It would have been funny if there was a running of the Zuvios.
They have, for those that don't know, I'm a bit of a, got a mental block. What's the character's name, Hawes?
Will Rowe.
They do the running of? Will Rowe Hood, that is it. The ice cream man maker from Bespin, when everyone's escaping, they do the running of the Will Rowe Hoods, and it is such a ludicrously awesome tradition that you see all these ice cream maker men running in their little orange jumpsuits through the convention. It's just like there's something so dumb about it that is so awesome that it's like, that's the cool thing about Celebration, which may be a bit different to other conventions, is how much the fans like have input and start their own silly traditions that like become part of the con, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I missed it. I didn't see the running of the Will Rowe Hoods this year. I was kind of bummed about that.
Yeah, I saw a bit of Will Rowe Hooding. I saw one of my favorite cosplayers who's just getting a few articles at the moment online was I think maybe like a 3 or 4 year old Jyn Erso, who every time she saw anyone cosplaying as Princess Leia would go up and give the plans to the Death Star 2, like on this awesome sort of clear perspex, like that sort of look like the thing that they slot in at one of the, I think maybe on the Rebel frigate or something. But yeah, so she would just go up and go, here's the Death Star plans to anyone wearing Princess Leia cosplay, which that's pretty sick.
That's awesome. I saw a couple articles about that too. Yeah, that's really cool. I saw some really good, you know, those Bandai Samurai Star Wars figures they do, the Tamashii Nations, I believe they're called. I saw some cool cosplays of those that were pretty neat.
Wow, that's a heavy costume to try take on as well.
Yeah,
for
sure.
There was actually two dudes in security line that were on my flight that had those costumes. And I didn't realize it, but like their buckets were it was completely carved out of foam. It wasn't ABS or anything, but man, they looked good.
Nice. How did you guys go with exclusives? I didn't hear the hard luck stories this year that I've heard from other years. It seemed like it wasn't that hard to get what you wanted.
You know, honestly, besides the Funko booth, which operated purely on a lottery basis, I had...
Funko's another... That's another realm altogether. That is, like...
And,
you may as well enter the lottery, like the actual lotto instead of that.
Yeah. I did luck out. The one Funko that I wanted was the Thrawn, and they just so happened to have that at Toys R Us while I was there today. So I did have a little stroke of luck there. But yeah, the Hasbro booth.
So it wasn't all tears down at the Toys R Us today then, was it?
No, I was trying to play it up like a big man, I guess. That's what get deserving, and it all comes out.
When I edit the show, do you want me to put like Sarah McLachlan singing in the background during that section?
But what stuff, Hawes? You got the X-wing Luke 40th anniversary in reasonable amount of effort. I think it took you two goes, which was a bit unfortunate, but.
No, I mean, can I really complain? No, we ended up getting them on Saturday, no problem. Only ended up having to stand in line maybe 20 minutes, if that. The Hasbro booth was moving very efficiently, it seemed like. And I got the exclusive Thrawn book that the Del Rey booth was selling with really no issue. And I got that on the first day. So as far as the exclusives go, I know the Celebration store looked like it was jam-packed all weekend, but I got in there right away and got the couple of things I was going for there, including that Goofy plush Boba Fett and Sarlacc pit.
That was the only thing that really caught my eye. I think I went in there maybe on the second day, and yeah, I walked out with nothing. Like, I'm not really a t-shirt guy, because.
Right.
Like I have because I make the podcast ones. I have a lot of t-shirts, and yeah, there was nothing really else. Like at Celebration London, I got the Lothcat plushes. That was right up my alley. And
right.
I guess the closest thing would have been the plush Sarlacc pit, but I just, at the new apartment in LA, there just wasn't a place for it. And I'm trying just to get stuff that I can utilize. So I walked out empty-handed. The guy I was with, my cameraman, was going to buy some little, like, sort of hacky sacks, and then he went to buy them, and they said, oh, it's like a 30, 40-minute wait to check out, and he just went, oh, nah, that's too long. So that's crazy, a 30-minute wait to pay for something after you're in the shop.
But, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I didn't plan on getting anything, you know? I mean, I thought, oh, the X-Wing Luke will be cool. But whatever, you know, I wanted to spend that time experiencing people and stuff and not just get trapped in line. But I think maybe it was Saturday. One of the guys I was with was like, hey, man, that line at the Hasbro booth is about 6 minutes long. And so Ben Hart with Noe and I took off over there and got in line. And I mean, it was probably about 4 minutes from beginning to end. And I was holding two of those things and no problem. But the one exclusive I did want to get, and I did get for my sweetie Emily Lind, is the Mendo cover of Star Wars Insider.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But past that, man, I just wanted to hang out because buying the exclusives wasn't too big of a deal.
Did either of you guys get a chance to check out the Artist Alley?
Not as much. I was listening to you guys talking about it, and I was like, oh, I didn't really hit that up too hard. So, yeah, that might have been one of the things that I just didn't get to that I would have liked to have done.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It was really cool, man. Like, if I didn't have a pretty sizable Star Wars art collection already and limited wall space to put it up, I could have loaned a lot of money there. And the only one I couldn't pass up was a really nice print of the Bounty Hunters from Empire Strikes Back.
Nice. I think I know the one. Yeah, it's a point of just like I'm about to like eBay a bunch of posters because it's just like how much, when am I going to have this much wall? You know, you can only push the, Jackie's a big Star Wars fan, but she does not want wallpapered Star Wars posters all over the apartment. Trust me.
I know. So do I, buddy. So do I.
I tell you that one of the coolest, I myself, for all exclusives, I just wanted my itty bitties. And once I'd done with that, that was Saturday morning, I got my blue Snaggletooth, which was not in a package because blue Snaggletooth never came in a package. And then they had vintage packaging in the vintage Kenner style. They had Hammerhead and red Snaggletooth. And they look so cool. And I had such anxiety about getting these itty bitties. And then I had anxiety about having anxiety that as a grown man, I have anxiety about getting these $6 teddy bears. Like, I was like, is this where I need to be in life right now? And ultimately the answer was yes. But when I got them, the flood of relief was invigorating as it was pathetic. It was just,
I know exactly what you mean.
With this little teddy bear, the giant grin, just like there is one relieved, supersized baby right there. Yeah, I like that new trend of cosplaying as vintage action figures.
Me too. That's cool. I saw an excellent Obi-Wan and Leia vintage, done in the vintage style, and it made me so happy. It was so neat.
It was so cool. One exclusive that I thought was very cool, I didn't get it, and I put in zero effort into trying to get it, apart from just going to the booth and going, oh, that's sold out for today, was the Gentle Giant. They do their upsized figures, so you can get like a vintage figure, and it's 12 inches. They blow up the Kenner figures to a giant size, which is super cool. Then they did, which was pretty funny, they did their exclusive, or one of them, was the Dianoga trash compactor monster from the Death Star playset. They blew up 12 times, and it came in this blister pack with the Dianoga, and then all the, like in the vintage Death Star playset that was released in America, not the English cardboard one, but the American plastic one, the trash compactor section came with all these foam pieces to resemble the trash. And so they'd upsized all these foam squares and triangles as well with the Dianoga in there. And I was just like I sort of had a thing of like, oh, I didn't get that. But then I was just like, I'm just glad it exists. I'm just glad that someone's thinking. Like someone drove home from Gentle Giant one day just going, I nailed it today. I'm doing a good job. What a suggestion.
I saw people walking around with it and I was like, oh, maybe. And I just, there's so much to see and I never got back over there because it was something that was like in my peripheral, like maybe, I'll go over there and try to pick that up. But there's just so much to see and do and you forget about it because you get distracted by, something cool and or meeting somebody cool and you just never get back around to it. I somehow missed the Rancho Obi-Wan booth. That's something I realized a couple of days ago. Something I would have loved to check out. Never saw it.
Well, we covered a bit of that in the Studio 10 on my Twitter, and it'll be up on my YouTube pretty soon. But I filmed like a segment for Studio 10 and we got to talk to Steve, and there's a bit of a overlay footage of they set up a dream bedroom in 1978 mm-hmm. if you were a very rich young boy, if you were the Baron Trump of your time, this is how your bedroom would have looked. So that's super cool. Also, just on that, we will have YouTube clips of all the cast interviews going up this week. Josh Chapman is currently prepping it up. Eric, anything to leave us with, buddy?
Just congratulations, man. Congratulations on scoring that gig. That's fantastic. Man, you work hard, and you obviously it's really paid off. And Hawes, again, it was so fantastic to meet you, man. I hope it's not 2 years before we get a chance to do it again.
Same here, buddy. Nice to meet you as well. We'll have to coordinate shirts next time we hang out. That'll be
that
our thing.
That was completely by accident. 2 days in a row.
All right. Thanks, H. Struthers. I will talk to you later on, man.
Deal, man. See ya.
All right. Let's hit the next call. This is from another Patreon Content Club member. It is the King himself, King Tom.
Oh,
where are you calling from, Tom?
Hey guys. How's it going? I'm in Columbus, Ohio. It's a pleasure to be online with the Rock and Sock connection to the Star Wars podcast universe.
Hey, sorry. Where are you calling from again?
Oh, I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
It doesn't matter where you're calling from. What do you got for us, King Tom?
There was something I had a question about. I just wanted to say about Cody's call before with the hyperspace, the idea of jumping in a planetary atmosphere in hyperspace was something that George planned in the original draft of Star Wars and the original draft of Phantom Menace, but he never used.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly. It's in one of the making of books, and like went back when it was the Starkiller, and there was something going on with that, but with the Phantom Menace, it was how, when they returned to Naboo, how they were going to get past the blockade. And Anakin, no computer could do it, but Anakin, because he was such a great pilot, Qui-Gon was like, well, the boy can do it. So, but George took that. Yeah, George took that out of the script, and I guess they recycled it for The Force Awakens.
Ooh, King Tom. King Tom getting all Robbo on us right here with some facts.
Yeah, I'm going to have to tuck that up into the beard for future future reference.
I'm glad I beat Robbo tonight in on that. But my question/comment is about Rian Johnson, because right now, after seeing everything at that you did at Celebration, the panel, all the interviews of him, and he had a Twitter comment today. Some guy was saying something like, The Last Jedi is just going to be another Empire Strikes Back, and he's only doing what Disney told him to do. And his reply was, I've had more creative freedom on this than I have any other movie I've ever made. And right now, I am on such a Rian Johnson high. And, I know, Steele, you met him and you talked with him.
I've got a line on some uncut, pure Rian Johnson. You want to get anything up?
I am sure you do.
Sorry, Tom, continue. I couldn't resist that line.
No. Was this your feeling too? Because he's a quality director, he knows how to tell a story. So am I wrong in feeling that? And I'm going to need to be talked down after The Last Jedi is released, if it's good, going from Rian Johnson to Colin Trevorrow. Because I'm sure Trevorrow's a good director, but it just feels like Johnson is bringing so much to the table and he's saying all the right things at this point that it feels like there's going to be a transition, and I'm trying to, preemptively talk myself down from that.
That is the future, you see, which is very uncertain.
Always in motion, I guess.
Always in motion. Like, is not Rian Johnson also writing the script for Episode 9, or is
That would be original.
Now?
that was the original rumor when he signed on for 8, was that he was going to write and direct 8 and write 9. But I believe in the months since Carrie's passing, when they've talked about the rewrites and stuff they've had to do to the script, that it's been Colin Trevorrow that they've mentioned as writing it. So I don't think Ryan is writing 9, although, you know, from the little bit we've seen and everything we've seen with him and interactions and what he's saying about what he's trying to do with this movie, I really wish he was writing 9.
Yeah, he definitely, I don't know. I'm really excited for what this film will give us and surprise us with. And then, like, it might not be what we want, but then at the end, we're like, oh, that was cool. Like, when you look back at Empire Strikes Back, say, like, we were in that time now, and, like, it ends on, you know, it does not end how anyone would expect with, Han Solo frozen. Like, everyone would have, I would imagine that if you were watching that when you were, you know, 12 years old in 1980 and you're midway through the film, you're like, well, he's not going to get frozen. Luke Skywalker is going to get there and save them. Like, that's what has to happen. And it doesn't. And like, that's the sort of like unexpected, but for the long term, oh my God, that is awesome. Like, twist that I think we might be able to get out of Rian Johnson. But, you know, I have to say, I don't know, like, he won a lot of people over at that convention with that late night signing session and like, genuine, like, he does, it does seem very genuine, the, like, he has that, I don't know, like, with, I'm just blanking here. Who's the director of Rogue One, everyone?
Gareth Edwards.
Thank you. I'm as I said, I'm still very tired. Gareth Edwards, like, he was such a fan, but maybe he seemed a bit, and this is just analyzing the way he talks in public, but a little bit in awe of what he was doing. Like, maybe that he didn't, like Ryan seems like, I know how important this is. I was like a 10-year-old Luke Skywalker fan, and I'm gonna challenge the 10-year-old Luke Skywalker fan in myself and get it done. He just seems a bit more sure-footed with talking about the film. What do you guys think about that?
I totally agree. He seems very confident, and I like that. Like, he seems, I mean, he acknowledges the pressure and you know, the anxiety that it seems to have given him, but he seems like he's he was prepared to step up to the plate and handle his business how he needed to. So,
and I didn't think going down and signing for that long is just like he gets how cool that is. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, like, what's the coolest thing I can do? And, you know, like, you know, I when J.J. Abrams sent down like coffee and donuts at San Diego Comic Con, and, you know, people sent down pizza and stuff, like, that's rad. But to come down and you know, put your night's sleep at risk, and, you know, you've got a big day the next day, to come down and chill and not make it like, I just walked through and thanks for coming, but just legit, if you are so into this movie that you are going to have the bizarrest 12-hour pleasure torture chamber test, I'm going to come down and you know, give you something to, like I saw so many people that had their badges signed for the rest of the weekend, had the little Rian Johnson on their badge. Like, that's like, you know, and, you know, maybe we're, you know, I think we're all got crushes on Rian Johnson now. So anything he says about the film for the next 3 months is like, this is going to be the best one, guys. Rian, we will not let us down.
I wasn't there. I was watching on YouTube. I was watching things on Periscope, and I felt that.
Yeah,
you know, I like got like squeeing every time I saw him.
Oof, it was good. It was good. anything else to leave us with, King Tom?
No, you know, thanks for sharing everything you guys shared and all the content on all of your podcasts, your award-winning podcasts, I should say.
Hey.
Congratulations on that, too. So thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers, Tom. I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Hey, you guys, please help us pod it forward. On Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, we are at Steel Wars, and it really seriously helps if you share the episode announcement. If everyone listening managed to get one extra person to check out the podcast, then we've doubled our audience, which will lead us to be able to do more cool things like these blog pods. Also, while you're listening to the rest of the show, why not get onto that iTunes and write us a sweet 5-star review? It bumps us up the rankings, vouches to other Star Wars fans we're doing good stuff, and makes your host feel warm inside. And a happy host means good content. Really appreciate your support, and back to the show.
All right, so we have gone, we've got about 50 minutes, a bit over what I was planning on doing in the free feed, but we've been having a good time. So if you don't know, as part of the Patreon deal, you get a fast pass to call in. So all the people so far have been Patreon members. Just a little extra thanks to those crew. So we'll end with one more Patreon call, and then if you're listening live, the show will continue and you'll get to listen to the rest of it in real time and still call in if you wish. And also shout out to everyone in the chat room. It is absolutely throbbing with conversation at the moment, and there's a bit of excitement over King Tom's visit to the show. So royalty does have its privileges. But for our last call in the open time, if you're listening on demand, we will go to New York City and to Emily Lind. Good evening, Emily.
Hey, guys.
What's up? What do you got for us, mate?
Well, first I want to say how much I've enjoyed listening to all the sweet content.
Oh, Emily just dropped out.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Just when we're halfway through the word content, it dropped out. The irony. That is brutal. All right, we'll get Emily. If she can call back in, we'll get her in the supporter section. So how about we go to Patreon member Brittany. How are you doing?
Oh, hello?
Hey, Brittany. What's going on?
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm so good.
I'm great. Oh, my God. Today's been like a roller coaster. I set my alarm and everything for this, and then, like, everything, like, came up. I had to go shopping for, like, a wedding thing tomorrow or a wedding shower. Then I get my nails done, and I was like, oh, my God, not going to be able to get this call, and everything happened, and then I'm like, I'm so excited. Hi. My mom's laughing at me right now because I sound pathetic.
Brittany, I appreciate it before anyone calls in that they get their nails done. So I thank you.
Thank you. Oh, is that Vaughn?
That is me.
Hey. Oh, my God. I just started listening to Rogue One, and I love you. I love your fiance.
You.
She's great.
Me too.
I listened to the podcast where you guys had, like, the newlywed game, kind of, and how you met. I love that.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, Jessie's awesome. She's got the most soothing voice. I find it very relaxing to listen to.
I felt so relaxed listening to that. Like, I had to listen to that podcast, or I listened to it this morning when I was getting ready, the one where you guys talk about your first couple days at Celebration. And I'm like, I love her. I love you guys. I love Johnny Grosso. And Deal. I love you.
All right, we will have to edit out that bit about Johnny Grasso because there is there is ego management issues. You can leave it in, Eric. I can leave it in. Hey, Hawes, this is what I want to know. What's it like? She's got the sweetest, most soothing voice. What's it like when that voice is yelling at you? I'm sure there's times when the beard's looking a bit messy. You got to get cleaned up. What's it like when that soothing voice turns?
It is It's scary, man. She can turn on that dark side. But you know what? I'm kind of smooth at it. Like, I can avoid that. It's mostly directed at other people besides me now. Like, in traffic, ooh. She's like a sailor.
Well, what's on your mind, Brittany? What would you like to discuss?
Oh, I want to discuss Star Wars Rebels, your favorite show. After that Twin Suns episode that got everyone pissed off, including me, kind of. But we'll go into that later. So, Dave Filoni announced at Celebration that this is the last season. He's done. Yada, yada, yada. How do you guys feel about that? And how do you think this season is going to end?
Well, he gave a little bit of information, and we know that we're not going to see the Battle of Scarif in Rebels. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
We also know that this season is only going to be 15 episodes. It's a shorter season, which I think could be to its benefit. Because I think if it's a shorter season, then maybe we won't get some of those goofier episodes that Rebels has been known for. But I think we're going to see, I want to say that we're going to see the end to Ezra and Kanan's storyline. But who knows,
I hope so.
Really? Who knows?
I hope about Ezra. I'm done with Ezra. I am 100% done with Ezra. I have been kind of since the beginning. And then it kind of warmed up to him. And then just Obi-Wan on Tatooine. I'm like, I'm done. Yeah. Ezra, I'm done.
Yeah, it was interesting. They said with the Ezra being a big part of that episode, it's like, well, he's the star of Rebels, so he had to be in it. And that to me says, well, maybe that story was not meant to be told in Rebels then. Like, if you have to wedge someone into the story. And it got to me how, like, Ezra is this training Padawan Jedi, or training Jedi, and he meets one of the great Jedi Masters, and it's just like, all right, see ya. Like, there's no, like, he didn't even mention it to Kanan when he got back. You'd think that would be, I just thought that should have been the main topic of discussion. It's like, I met Ben Kenobi, or Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Here's a good example.
That is so weird. I didn't like that, especially when that last, or the season finale, when Kanan's like, oh, I've taught you everything. Like, no, you haven't. No. Like, this, like, Kanan Jarrus probably had, I don't know, well, I forgot how old he was when Order 66 happened, but he had at least, like, 10, probably 15 years of training, and he's telling this kid, oh, no, you're done. Like, Kanan, come on, you're blind, but, you know. Yeah.
What happened to Brittany? She dropped out mid-sentence.
She got real mad. She got real mad talking about Kanan.
I did. I was so mad after watching that season finale because there was nothing. And then I saw the trailer for season 4, and I'm like, okay, hot talent, I'm in.
Oh my god! Yeah. Do you know, Hawes? The thing I appreciate about Brittany is she's the happiest ranter we've ever had call in.
Right? Like she's so mad about Rebels, but she's just so happy.
I'm just so happy, you know. It's like I'm mad, but I'm happy. You know, it's like I'm talking to you guys, but I'm not at Rebels. It's, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think we're in. My hopes are up. You know, we've got a set number of episodes. Dave Filoni has got no time to waste. And, you know, much like when the creators of Lost had their end date, they got to really aim towards that. I think we're going to get some very important episodes that they did show, which was not the first episode, but it seemed to be mid-season. It was, apart from, and this will be to no anyone's surprise, a bit of Ezra wackiness where he really gets his Jar Jar on for a second there. It's an amazing and deep and sad and shocking episode. So if it's...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was it was... I was very taken that, like, this show that had an episode with Steve Stanton in a robot suit singing in space.
That was my favorite.
the same the same show has this very dark ending of one of the episodes. So I have my issues with the cartoon, but my hopes are high for this final season.
Yeah, I'm just hesitant because the trailers always look great. When they do a Rebels trailer, it always gets me excited. And I feel like it's kind of burned me in the past. So I'm hesitant. Of course I'm going to watch it. It's Star Wars. What else am I going to do?
Yeah, same.
But
no trailer has ever been as like hopes high to then what than the trailer for the Clone Wars movie, that animated movie. It looked like such a gritty war film, and then there was Snips and Fly Guy. It was just like
Baby Jabba.
I really felt like I was sold a false package. I've never watched that again. I went to the cinema to watch it, and I've never seen it again.
Oh, really? Yeah, it doesn't hold up.
I think I will save watching it, and I'll do a commentary for it with some friends, and like go in totally. You know, I've got the vaguest memories of it, so that might be an interesting test. But I definitely that definitely tempered my excitement going into Clone Wars. I was sort of just like, I'm not sure if this is the Star Wars for me. But
talk about getting so much better from that theatrical movie to some of the stuff we got later in Clone Wars. It was a huge jump in quality. So,
oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Brittany, thanks for calling in, mate. I really appreciate it. And thank you for your support of the show on Patreon. I can't thank you enough, man. And
thank you.
Would appreciate if you don't be a stranger. It was great to talk to you. So feel free to call back in whenever you want.
Oh yeah, you guys will hear from me more. I love you guys. You make my graveyard shifts at work more enjoyable. And yeah, I love you guys. I love you, Haas. I love you, Steel. I love everyone. So thank you.
And where are you calling from, Brittany?
San Diego.
Oh, nice, nice. Are you going to be at Comic-Con?
I don't know. I want to go because I'm hoping that you guys will kind of do like a little thing like you did in Orlando, because I'm kicking myself really hard in the face for not going to Celebration because of all the fun that I heard you guys have and listening to your podcast. And I felt like I was there, and I was like, oh my God, why wasn't I there? Yeah.
Well, don't be too hard on yourself. Although I admire how flexible you must be. Stop kicking yourself in the face. Okay.
I'll try.
We will. There are plans to do something in San Diego. So get set.
Well, I'll be there.
Love it. Well, I'll talk to you soon, Brittany.
All right. Nice talking to you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Horsey. So we ended up doing about an hour on the free feed. So if you're listening live, the show will continue and we will get to the rest of your calls. If you are listening on demand to hear the bonus show and hours, hundreds of hours of back catalog episodes of Steel Wars, plus bonus shows like the Making Steel Wars show and the Q&As, the live commentaries, just join up on the Content Club at Patreon, which is patreon.com/Steel Wars. And also the new episode with the cast interviews are up. If you have Twitter or Facebook and you want to share that one about, I would be ever so grateful. And my co-host Hawes hosts two of my favorite Star Wars podcasts. Tell us where to find them, buddy.
So you can check out Rogue One, a Star Wars podcast for wieners, and Blue Harvest, both on the Making Star Wars Network, on iTunes, on Google Play, Stitcher, any of those places you would get podcasts.
Very nice. Well, thank you, everyone, for calling in. We'll go to the bonus section. It was so much fun to be back on this format It is one that I very much enjoy. And as we go off into the bonus section, may that force be with you. All righty, let's go to 405. Who may you be and where are you calling from?
This is Aaron from Oklahoma City.
Oh, buddy.
Aaron! What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. How you doing, guys?
Pretty good, buddy. How are you?
That you're back there and I'm back here. It's
I've been fighting those blues. I know all about it. I got to figure out this VIP Patreon line. I didn't know there was one. I'm going to have to get with the King Tom on that one.
Hey guys, thank you for listening in to that really fun call-in show with Hawes Burkhart. Now, as you would have heard, we then went on to do the Patreon Content Club bonus section, which ended up going for another hour. And we talked about how Star Wars brings people together, the worst exclusive of Star Wars Celebration. We go a bit behind the scenes on my interviews with the cast and crew of The Last Jedi. We talk about rumored directors for future films, the quote, "The Jedi Must End," the Force of Destiny reveal, new toy lines, the greatest caller of all time, the Battlefront 2 trailer, and the best-smelling Last Jedi cast member, and so much more in the Content Club, which you can join for just $3 a month on Patreon. So much bonus content this week. We just put up 80 minutes episode of Gonkin Steel's Trash Compactor with me and my great friend from Jack's Pacific Toys, Tony Medina, discussing Star Wars very loosely. It is so much fun. Plus, you have got the full Making Star Wars podcast party live show that is a bit under 2 hours with the erotic fan fiction read. You've got two After Dark blog pods from Star Wars Celebration, Late Night Hijinks. And that's just this week, you guys. There is over 250 episodes for you to tuck into. So many bonus episodes. All the full-length interviews for just $3 a month on Patreon. It's just an expensive can of Coke or a decent cup of coffee. Or in some places, half a decent cup of coffee. If you're in Perth, Australia, it is one-third of a decent cup of coffee. And it supports all the regular programming as well. I really appreciate it. But if signing up for the Content Club isn't your thing, we would really appreciate a 5-star review on iTunes. It bumps up the rankings, vouchers to other Star Wars fans that we're doing good stuff, and makes me feel warm inside. Also, if you share the episode announcement on Twitter or Facebook, it is so appreciated. Pod it forward. That is the minimum effort we need from the listeners. If everyone got a new listener, we would double our listenership. And then they'd get a new listener. And we'd just blop, blop, blop. We'd be huge. And the guests and the things we'd be able to do. So it's in your best interest to pod it forward. Thank you guys so much. Next call-in show will be Friday night American time, a Saturday late morning Australian time. Check your local guides, and may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.